Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
The wheel of time turns and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a wind rose in the mountains of mist. The wind was not the beginning. There are neither beginnings nor endings to the turning of the wheel of time, but it was a beginning. Born below the ever cloud-capped peaks that gave the mountains their name, the wind blew east out across the sand hills, once the shore of a great ocean, before the breaking of the world. Down it flailed into the two rivers, into the tangled forest called the Westwood, and beat at two men walking with a cart and horse down the rock-strewn track called the Quarry Road. For all that spring should have come a good month since, the wind carried an icy chill, as if it would rather bear the gargle. This is The Gargle. Welcome, the sonic glossy magazine, to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world, all of the news, none of the politics. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Jos Norris.
Hello.
That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. It's not my writing.
Is it not? Who is that?
No. Usually I write them myself, but this was The Wheel of Time, the beginning of The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan.
Got it. It was really beautiful. I'm gonna read it now.
Yeah, you should have just said it.
I mean, it's a commitment. Yeah, I should have.
I was transported.
But, like, I feel like if I take credit for the ones that are my own, I should definitely reject credit for the ones that aren't my own. And Kai Samra, welcome.
Hello. That was my own writing, that introduction.
That was almost as beautiful.
Thank you.
Before we load up the mule-pulled wooden cart that is this week's top stories and set off on our epic adventure, let's have a look at the front cover. The front cover this week is Taylor Swift doing a public smooch with Travis Kelce and 1,000 men who like sports getting very upset that girls are going to come and watch football now, but for the wrong reasons. You should come to sport to watch the melodrama of the human body and spirit pushed to its absolute limits, not the melodrama of two extremely rich and beautiful people falling in love. Wrong melodrama, teen girls! And the satirical cartoon is the currently trending debate in American politics. This is a real currently trending debate of whether, given the choice between two parties, one of 99% Hitler and one of 100% Hitler, you would have the moral obligation to vote for 99% Hitler. That's a real debate that's happening right now. It manages to hit about three of my pet peeves, including quantifying Hitler, being imprecise with language, and mathematics. Egregious mathematics.
Which party is 99% Hitler?
Yeah.
It depends on which party you support, I imagine.
Right.
Also, didn't Hitler miss a ball? So isn't technically Hitler still 99% Hitler if he's still missing that small part of himself?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
And now it's time for our top story. Top story this week is an incredible experiment news. If you've ever imagined a rat, you might not be alone imagining a rat into a void. The rat might be imagining you too. As Philip K. Dick asked whether androids dream of electric sheep, one must ask whether rats could dream of rat sheep, presumably a sort of fuzzy cockroach situation. To imagine our way out of this story, Kai, you've followed a Pied Piper before. Can you unpack the science here?
So, this is the story of how rats have been found to use their imagination similar to humans, according to a new study. Apparently, this means their thoughts aren't always fixed on what's immediately in front of them, but their thoughts can also travel in space and time, which is, I'm going to be honest, as someone who spent their entire childhood watching films like Ratatouille and cartoons like Pinky and the Brain, I kind of always assumed this was the case. But my favourite part of the article is how the experiments happened, because apparently the researchers fitted this like custom brain machine to the rats and like mapped them through this virtual reality environment, which I just want to say is probably the best job in the world, I would say. If there was any an option for me to do that, just like going home at your girlfriend asking you what you've been up to today, just like, I'd rather not say. But it was kind of triggering because I had, I don't know about you guys, I didn't have a pair of rats. I had like a couple of gerbils when I was younger. Oh, yeah. Called Phil and Lil after the Rugrats. And one of my most traumatic memories was being 5 years old. I picked one of them up by the tail, which I don't think you're meant to do. And the tail came off, blood went all over me. Genuinely, it looked like a scene from Platoon or something. My mum heard the commotion came up and I was like desperately trying to scrub the gerbil blood off my 5-year-old hands. Like I was some like weird Lady Macbeth person. And it traumatized me. And then good ending, like the gerbil came back, but it never forgave me. And my mum always used to say, oh, I didn't. It won't remember. It's just a gerbil. Now, after this research, it probably did remember.
Now you know.
So it's pretty triggering, this article, I have to say.
Did the tail grow back? Like a lizard?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember. It ran off. Wow. And then I swear it came back like a month later or something.
Wow.
But yeah, properly traumatic
with
memory.
With a tail. or responding to a different name.
Yeah. It was just a wanton rat I just picked up. But yeah.
I mean, this opens dystopian landscapes that I've never before turned my mind to. Imagine being a rat with no imagination. Imagine just being a boring office rat. Jaws?
I'm with you on the thing of, like, I would have assumed this was the case anyway.
Yeah.
And I find it odd that, like, so many of these sort of scientific studies on animals take as their baseline assumption at the start that animals are thick as shit. And then at the end of the study, having spent, like, millions on putting like a little Oculus Rift on a rat or whatever it is. Like it was some kind of VR machine that they used to like help the rat imagine space. And then they took the machine away and they found that the rat could still imagine space or something. So, and then the conclusion of that is like, oh, they're not thick as shit, but like we should credit them with more intelligence than that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they're sentient beings. It's like, that's the baseline level of what you should be.
Because the thing they
concluded
was that like, it's possible for a rat to think about the idea of going somewhere to get some water. Like that's a thought that they managed to find in the rat's like brain map or whatever. But if you think that doesn't happen, then you assume that rats just kind of wander around like amorphous blobs in an ambient space. And if they find some food or some water, they go, oh, that was great. I hope I find some more of that again one day. But they have no ability to like plan or think. I just think it's quite rude.
Well, it feels like it limits the science that can be done. You know, if you began with the assumption that rats had an imagination, you could end by, for example, if you're a Hollywood executive, firing all your writers and employing only rats.
Yeah.
using a translation service called RatGPT to generate all of your studio ideas. Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by sausage rolls. What if a sausage literally f***ed a croissant? I don't know, but try a sausage roll. Comes in meat, assorted meat, controversially vegan and fun size, though the fun seems to be contained in the concept that there's less sausage roll. Sausage rolls, also what you call the position for the only straight guy in a gender studies class. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by kidney stones. Unpleasant, painful, and more preventable than you think, you can get ahead of kidney stones by avoiding some foods and drinking half a glass of water more often than you used to before you had the salutary life experience of birthing a rock out of your wee hole. Kidney stones. Don't get one today. Red mushrooms with white spots on them, a mystical forest glade. Time that isn't the same on the inside as on the outside. Animals that talk, a mythic quest to become the king you always knew you could be. This podcast brought to you by something that is either a children's classic or an evening of young adult psychopharmaceutical experimentation. You find out. And this is not an ad. This is just a little piece of experience that I had in the small coastal Queensland town that I have moved to in order to safely spawn. I was walking past a crystal shop because that's what happens in small coastal Queensland town. And there were two ladies talking and one of them said, "Witchcraft is more of an art than a science." And I had to seriously resist the urge to say, "It's a craft, ladies. It's a craft. It's in the name."
I actually went to an Airbnb, a little holiday place in Glastonbury, and we went past a witchcraft shop, and it was basically had this sign which was like deterring burglars, because apparently people go into witchcraft shops and burgle places, and we're like, "We don't call the police, but we do witchcraft, so get the hint." I was like, "This is the most nice. Often, I know, it's the most sinister sign I've ever seen in my entire life."
Well, I'm obsessed with this crystal shop because the last time I passed it before the witch ladies situation, there was a man saying that this crystal is 1,000 times stronger than the other crystal, which raises the question of doing what? I don't know what you mean. And also, what are they? Why did they even stock the 1,000th strength crystal in the first place?
I got a tarot deck for my birthday and I've been getting dangerously into it, because initially it's just sort of fun and you go, "Oh, this is sort of weird and silly." And then the more you do it, the more you start to think like, "Oh, actually, this is a way of life." And I can kind of see my future panning out now. And I think I will end up doing tarot readings on Zoom for just like little scraps of money here and there. And it makes me quite sad that I know that's where I'll end up now. But I'm having a lovely time.
It's the saddest way to be able to tell the future is to be like the fortune teller that can only like, knows your own future is to be a fortune teller.
I remember the start of Edinburgh, last Edinburgh, a person who did my PR, like we just met before Edinburgh, and she was just like, "I do tarot reading, do you want me to do your cards?" And I was like, "Just before Edinburgh, absolutely not." Like, that's the last thing I want.
"No, I want you to do my PR, lady." Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And in returning story news, I bet you listeners thought you'd heard the last of the very specific Colombian wildlife problem caused by Pablo Escobar's escaped hippo population, but you haven't, because that's what this next story is about. Jos Norris, you have run an ill-fated drug cartel's overblown menagerie dreams before. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, I regret that. That was one of my worst business ideas I'd ever put together. Not my worst, but it was not good. This is the story that they are now considering a three-part solution to the invasive hippo problem in Colombia. One of the plans is to anesthetize and sterilize hippos and then either release them back into the wild or sell them abroad. The second option is just to sell them abroad full stop. And the third option is to cull them, is to kill all of them. I didn't realize that there was an invasive species problem with hippos in Colombia. So the thing I was thinking about with this was I was trying to work out like what comparable experience I've had in my life that I could bring to empathize with this situation. And the only kind of analogous thing I could get in my head was, do you remember when there was a worry that there might be like dangerous spiders in the bananas that were coming over? there was going to be like spider eggs, and you had to be very careful with what bananas you were buying, and you had to check before you ate them. And that's the only memory I have of us having like an invasive species problem in the UK. And first I thought, this sort of puts our problems into perspective, that like all we had to deal with was spiders and they're having to deal with hippos. But actually, I think you sort of know where you stand with a hippo, and you know where the hippo is. So I think there's much more kind of like paranoia in our invasive species problems, because you're never going to go to the shop and buy a sandwich open it and a hippo leaps out and eats your head. Like you're going to be able to see it and go, oh, I'll keep my distance. So I actually think our problems are worse.
Well, I mean, hippos are more deadly though.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I also always have a banana pre-gig. 20 minutes before I perform, I have a banana. So now my anxiety is going to be through the roof.
So I think it was a long time ago, the spider's eggs, but maybe they're still out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's also a bit in this article where they say that they have secured a couple of buyers, because they're trying, I think there's something like 500 hippos at the moment that they're trying to get rid of. And it could number, oh no, there's about 215 at the moment, but there might be more than 1,000 by 2050 if they don't do something. And so far they have two buyers. One of them is a guy in India who has agreed to take 60 of the hippos. And then that's not mentioned again in the rest of the article. That's just there as like, yeah, so he'll have that. But I was thinking, who's that? What's that guy doing? Because that sounds like too many hippos for a zoo. Because first I thought maybe he runs a zoo or like a wildlife park or something. But 60 hippos is a lot for one zoo or wildlife park. So who's this guy? So I think this is also the origin story for like a new Bond villain. And if somebody emerges in like 10 years time and they've got like an army of genetically engineered hippos and then they hold the world to ransom, I'm going to feel smug about it, because I'm calling it now. I think that's what's going on.
Or a new series of like Tiger King, but Hippo King. Just the man who just has loads and loads of hippos.
Yeah, I have to get all of them.
Yeah, I was similar to you. I didn't realise that there was a hippo problem in Colombia as well. And like you said, it was Pablo Escobar just imported like four hippos, and then they just flourished after he died. And it's like, I watched the whole series of Narcos on Netflix, and there was not one mention of that. I was like, if I was writing that series, you know, Pedro Pascal trying to sort out the hippo
at least
carnage.
One hippo episode.
And a whole series, surely, would be incredible for that. But
they're surprisingly deadly for how cute they look. I think they're deadlier than lions and tigers in terms of...
They're the deadliest animal in the world, right? Or that can't be true. That's probably like mosquitoes or something.
Look, I don't know if they're the deadliest, but I know that they're like definitely more deadly than the animals that you think of as deadly, because they just smile at you with their little gappy teeth and then they bite you in half.
I wonder if they got the blame for a lot of like Pablo Escobar's drug cartel murders. Like maybe that ramps up the numbers if they were like still part of the crew.
It might have been a cover thing for him to be like, oh no, I'm not doing anything. That would be my hippos.
Yeah, I just blamed it on the hippos and their numbers went through the roof.
Well, it's because they look like they're smiling. You can't, you know, they haven't got bad PR. You can't like, you can't convincingly dangle James Bond over a pit of hippos. It just doesn't have the same kind of...
I always think that with animals, like, it's just about PR, isn't it? Like sharks after Jaws. It's just like, there was like a gangster hippo series come out. I think they would be the new Jaws.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of PR, what they need is your PR agent to go and read the tarot hippos and tell them... if it comes up hanged man, then they're all getting culled.
I saw a hippo fight a squirrel once in the zoo. There was a squirrel got into the hippo enclosure and this hippo just chased it round and round, and it was hilarious. I absolutely loved it. I think they're silly animals. The squirrel was probably scared out of his life because they're massive, but I was having a great time. And I think that's because of it. Do you remember the hippo who sold you a mattress? He was like in his pajamas. And he was a mascot for a TV campaign. He wasn't real.
See, I was not allowed to watch television as a child. So if you ever ask me if I remember, like, I don't know what advertisements are, as should be clearly evidenced by the ad section of this show. Yeah. I don't know what they're meant to look like.
Well, he was adorable, this guy. He had like a wee willy winky cap and some stripy pajamas, and he'd yawn, and then he'd get on his mattress and he'd be like, wow, this mattress is great. You should buy it. And I just had him in my head watching this hippo run around. I think they're cute. I'd love to have an invasive species problem of hippos.
In Australia, that was that role was played by an extremely left-wing comedian called Rod Quantock, who happened to get a contract to be Captain Snooze at the same time as like railing against capitalism.
Right. That mattress money, you can't turn it down.
Yeah, you got to eat.
And now it's time for your reviews section now, because as you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Kai, what have you brought in for us this week?
So I am going to be reviewing the act of rewatching your favourite childhood films as an adult in 2023. So I did this last Saturday. I just went, had a bit of a film marathon, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to watch all the films I haven't seen in forever. But like through the eyes of me now, and it's very weird. I'm just going to put that out there. Like, I watched Jurassic Park. Also, that could be another film with bad animal PR. Because I don't know, how are dinosaurs bad? I don't know. But I feel like it still stands up. Because like, they're just sentient, normal. I don't know why they've... Steven Spielberg has got a lot to answer for, actually, about bad animal PR. Sharks, velociraptors, like T-Rexes, I don't know. But it's a good film. The special effects still stand up. But you notice it's a very male-dominated film. And I really feel like they noticed this after they did the casting. Because there's a bit in it where the male scientist is like, oh, by the way, all the dinosaurs in the park are female. And I don't think that's the gender diversity anybody was asking for. Like, I feel like if two female velociraptors communicate with each other, like, does that pass the Bechdel test? I don't know. And then I watched, what else did I watch? I watched The Lion King, which also stands up.
Depends if they're roaring about a man or not, Kai.
Also, The Lion King has bad hyena PR. They're kind of the same. But I realised watching that, it's kind of weird, like, because the animators must have drawn Mufasa, like, that's fine, then drawn Simba, and then we were like, oh, how can we depict that Scar's the villain? Let's just make him unrealistically brown. I don't know why he's that brown. Like, I've never seen a lion with that much melanin in my life. And also, he's meant to be Mufasa's brother. Like, if that's the case, then Mother has got a lot to answer for. But it's never the same. So I'm going to give that 2 out of 5 stars. Watching childhood films.
Never go back.
Never go back.
Can't cross the same river twice.
Yeah.
Because you've burned all your bridges. Joz, what have you brought in for us?
I wanted to review the experience of opening an unusual door. Because this week I was doing some work in the study area of a big library, and I went to the toilet at one point, and there was a door in the toilet that had "keep locked shut" written on the door, and it had been left ajar. And I thought, oh, this is like an opportunity to go on an adventure, and I don't normally get that. Like, I'm quite a kind of stay at home, unimaginative person, and I'm very, very scared. I don't know if listeners will feel the same, but I'm very scared of the question, what have you been up to lately, or any of that kind of thing where I have to sift through my life and go, oh shit, what has happened? And I usually land on something that happened like 3 years ago. Like, I'll mention the last time I got excited about a new thing, and I'll be like, oh, I'm really into needle felting at the moment. And then I'll remember, oh no, that was 3 Christmases ago. I lose track of time a lot. So when I saw this door, I was like, this is a really good opportunity to like find out what it's like to surrender to unusual stuff and just like go with the flow. And I thought maybe the most that will be behind it is like a cleaner's cupboard or something with some equipment. But I opened it, and behind it was a second door. And I thought, oh my God, this is a metaphor for life. Life is a series of doors. And I went through the second one. And then behind that one was like a really spooky bunker, like a windowless brick bunker. And then I started getting a bit scared because I had to like go beyond the toilet and let the other door close. And I wasn't sure if I'd ever get back. But I thought, I've started now, and I'm becoming a person who does things. So I have to keep going. And then on the other side of this bunker was another like big metal door. And that door said danger, deep void. And it felt again like a kind of an analogy for something. And I was like, I have to become this guy. I have to find out what it's like to keep going. And then I went through that door. And then it was very odd. There was like a kind of a blinding flash, and then all my flesh sort of like fell off my bones, and then my skeleton kind of crumbled to dust. And then I was sort of snapped back several billion years, and I came back as like a single-celled organism, and I had to live through billions of years of life again until I was eventually born into my human body. And then I had to sort of endure 34 more years of just being quite a kind of boring, unimaginative guy. And then finally, it was time to come on this podcast this morning. So my review of the experience is that it's not worth doing. Don't go through doors that you don't know where they lead to. It's better to just kind of stay at home and do the things you like. It's not worth the hassle. And I give it 1 star. Had a terrible time.
1 star. One star out of 5 for staring into the void.
Yeah, don't do it. It won't look back.
And in dystopian news now, Amazon, the company who's expanding at about the rate its jungle namesake is shrinking, which is to say exponentially, is promising to deliver cheap healthcare with an app's worth level of small print terms and conditions. Kai, you don't want your healthcare delivered by an underpaid gig economy worker in a clapped out Corolla who's being forced to piss into a bottle while being watched by robots to keep his productivity up. Can you unpack this story for us?
So, this is, like you said, the story about Amazon. Kind of careful what I say. I've got a comedy special on Amazon. So I'm going to absolutely slam them now. But apart from that, they're comedy.
High five.
But they're comedy toast. So basically, like you said, yeah. So over the years, Amazon has slowly continued to add sort of offerings for its Amazon Prime members, from like rapid delivery to access to sort of curated services. However, today, the company announced the latest addition to Amazon Prime, which is access to primary healthcare services through its one medical platform for $9 a month. And this is basically where they provide like 24/7 virtual care for common concerns such as cold symptoms and skin issues. And yeah, I think this is too much. As I say, I wouldn't trust Amazon with my health, especially with their... I don't know if you guys look at your Amazon recommendation lists. Because they, I don't know what that algorithm is, but because I went to, I remember I went to a fancy dress party a few years ago, and as a brown man, it's quite difficult to know what to go as a fancy dress costume, because there's not a lot of famous Asian people. So I went as the baddie in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and my mate went as Indiana Jones. I got a toy whip for him off Amazon, and for about 3 months, I got nothing but kink and S&M stuff recommended to me. I think the idea of just going on Google for like medical concerns is like just the worst. Like, I've been feeling like tired recently, and I just Googled it, and the first thing that came up was like, you might get bleeding of the brain. I was like, I do not want Amazon to just the same thing to happen where I just want like an antihistamine and they end up giving me like a year supply of morphine or something. I don't trust them.
Well, every experience ordering anything off Amazon is like a terrifying gamble, desperately scrabbling through the reviews and trying to tell if they've been like bought and paid for or if they're genuine human people, and, you know, taking your chances, throwing your money into the void and hoping that a package will arrive that doesn't smell like, you know, a chemical spill in a factory somewhere you'd rather not be. But I don't know that you want to transfer that kind of brand vibe to healthcare, to even health. If it is like severely limited healthcare options, at least so far.
Yeah, the only way I think is if they do it like other apps do, where they kind of just have an app, you know, but then they kind of design it to kind of hit your endorphin levels, you know, so like a Tinder app for your health. They're like, COVID, no. Oh, bronchitis. I've just got a match with bronchitis. That's why some sort of entertainment value in that. I think that could work. But apart from that, I see no future in this.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the obvious next step, right? Is that Amazon then gamifies your own healthcare to the point where you diagnose yourself and get like a free 10 cents off your next Band-Aid for successfully being your own primary care provider. Like, it just doesn't seem like it's ending up anywhere good. Joz, would you buy your healthcare off Amazon?
I don't think I would. I read this story like in the same week that I saw the new Uber advert, which is that Uber does trains now. And the advert is people like getting on their train and thinking it's an Uber just for them. It's quite a good advert. But it did make me think like we're kind of getting away from the idea anymore of there being like things that do things. And instead we're sort of replacing all the things with like a couple of everythings that do everything. And it reminded me, do you remember in again, I'm just like constantly remembering things that you may well have no frame of reference for, but that for a while in WH Smith, if you bought anything, they'd go, oh, if you buy a newspaper you can get a bar of chocolate for £1, and but you hadn't gone in for either, you'd gone in for like a pencil case or something, and then they go, what about a newspaper and a bar of chocolate? And I was like, I don't want either of them with this purchase. And I sort of feel like we're getting to that point where it's now everything does more than it needs to. And I think we need to redesign the way we think about like society, because I think kids learn it through happy families. You have that card game where you'd get like, oh, this is Mr. Bun the baker, he makes bread, and this is Mr. Flames the fireman, he puts out fires. And these days, I think if you were to design a game that kind of represents society as it is, you'd basically have maybe like three cards. And one would be, this is Jeff Bezos. He does everything now. He gives you all your stuff, and then he'll look after you when you die. And then maybe there's two others, like this is Mark Zuckerberg. He sort of sorts out what people think of you and what you look like from the outside and stuff. And then, I don't know, then there's probably just Disney and they're just sort of pumping you with like corporate IP until you can't really think or move. And the only thing you can think to do with your life is to buy some more stuff from Amazon and then be looked after in your Amazon care bed. I found the whole story very depressing, as you could maybe tell.
I mean, it is enormously depressing. And I mean, this is the tech dream. This is the tech utopian dream that Silicon Valley has somehow circle jerked itself into buying into, which is that a thing is not sufficiently good if it just does the thing it's meant to do well. It has to 10x or 100x the original offering. And, you know, you can't just have a business that does the thing that the business is meant to do. It needs to get VC funding of billions of dollars and put everyone else out of business till you become the everything app, which means that you give people the money to buy the things that you're selling the people, and then you can sell them their own happiness in a jar, and then they can sell the jar back to you for a 10 cent refund and buy a new bigger jar to put their happiness in. Like, it's just so heartbreakingly depressing. And the problem is that the most depressing thing about this, sorry to rant, the most depressing thing about it is that they think this is utopia. They genuinely think this is taking us towards the epitome of human achievement. And that is the most upsetting thing about it of all to me, that they can't see that this is like sliding into a hellscape.
Yeah. Isn't it the plot of the last season of Succession? Isn't this the thing that like Kendall ends up coming up with? They sell like a Life Plus thing or something. And it's the idea that like you get a healthcare package and like you get your entire life is kind of mandated by this media company. So we keep now living through a thing where like the actual tech billionaires are just slightly 6 months behind the satire that's trying to make them look as thick as possible. And then they go, oh, actually, we should do that. Let's actually do that.
Yeah, I always think that, like, what comes first? Is it, like, the entertainment or the tech people? Like, with AI, I'm like, this is just an 80s sci-fi film. Like, you are just copying that. And I'm thinking, would they even have come up with that idea if that film hadn't even been made?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love the idea of Jeff Bezos copying Kendall Roy.
That's okay. I like
that's
that guy.
The guy.
He's my favourite.
Now it is time for your space funeral news. What do you do when you're a very rich person after you die? Do you go back to Earth and enrich the soil with your decomposing corpse, grow the grass and become the trees that will shade your children's futures? No, you f***ing fire yourself at the moon in a rocket. Jos Norris, Kai Samra, what the f*** is going on with rich people right now?
I thought this was quite a sweet piece in a way. Like, obviously, if you kind of remove the fact that all these people are clearly mad, it's kind of it's just a study of a bunch of different people who want this to happen to them after they die. And some of them, actually, their justifications are really nice. There's this guy here who said that for his wife became ill, and for over a year, he never left her bedside for more than 90 minutes. And what they would do is they would sort of sit together and look at the stars. And they promised each other that when they died, they would mix their ashes together and shoot themselves into space. And I thought, that's kind of lovely. And then a lot of the other ones are kind of about curiosity and trying to kind of like answer the mysteries that you can't answer. But then there are a couple of weird ones when people talk about their reasons. One of them, it's a guy who spent his entire life amassing a fortune by drilling. He sort of built wells, oil wells, and made his money that way. And then eventually realized he'd been going the wrong way, he said, and that he wanted to reverse the effort that he'd been putting to go down into the earth.
Dig up.
He was like, I want to go up because I've been looking in the wrong direction, which I found very funny. And then the maddest one is there's this guy called Ken who says that when he dies, he wants some DNA of his to be put on the moon, on the south pole of the moon, so that his descendants might look up there and go, oh, there's a little piece of Ken up there. And that's kind of sweet. But then almost as an aside or as an afterthought at the end, he says, also, I'd like to stay up there until they've worked out how to do cloning from people's DNA. And then I want to swarm across the universe as an army of Kens. And I think if this is going to be a service that they offer people, that you can shoot your DNA up into space, I think your reasoning has to be part of the application process. And I think it ought to be possible for them to come back and go, oh, you're insane. You're completely insane. It ought to be like an arts council bid where they're like, we liked your application. You might want to rework this thing where you talked about why you want to do it, because you said you want to turn into an army of Kens and swarm across the universe. and we don't feel comfortable spending this money on you. But like, try again, and then maybe come back with something nice about your wife, and then maybe we'll let you do it.
Look, I've got to confess, I'm a bit of a, I think I'm a bit of a eugenicist when it comes to space DNA. I think if you want to launch your DNA into space, you've got to give yourself the most epic case of blue balls and do it manually. And if it reaches orbit, then you get to populate the stars. Unless you're literally strong enough to power your jizz into space through the force of your own sexual frustration, not permitted to colonize the universe. But if you can f*** the moon, go ahead, yeah. Do it.
Yeah, I don't understand this fascination with space. It just seems just like a dark, cold, miserable place. It's like I live in England. I don't need any more of that. But I don't understand this fascination, because it's always the same demographic. It's just people who've got far too much money than sense. And it's like, they just can't stop like gentrifying places. Like, if it's not Brixton, it's the moon. It's just like, don't go to where you're not wanted. I don't really say it, I don't understand it. But I've no one. If you got an offer to go to the moon and it was free, or like to go into space, would you guys go? Because I don't think I would.
Nah.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't.
It looks rubbish.
It would depend how embarrassed I was at whatever recent mistake I'd made.
Yeah.
Because I want to get as far away from whatever the mistake I've most recently made is. So if you got me at the right time, I'd be like, yeah, shoot me to Venus, do it. Just.
Yeah. Also, to be fair, if I got cremated and my family, without my wishes, just sent me to outer space, I would kind of get the hint. Like, I wouldn't take that as a something to be proud of. I'd be like, okay, guys, I get it.
Yeah, your Christmas presents are, you know, a stick of deodorant, a nice set of bath and cleansing products, and a ticket to outer space. You're like, I get it, guys. I get it. I smell.
It made me wonder whether I'd do anything weird with my roommate. I don't think I'd go to space, but the other day I was walking through Battersea after a fireworks display. So there were a few kind of circus type things going around. And then a van went past, a kind of fun party van that had a bubble machine on the top. So it was kind of streaming bubbles in its wake as it went. And I thought that'd be a nice way to go, to scatter like not your ashes, but your bubbles. And then to have them just kind of like strewn across the city center. So I might do that. I might find a way to.
What a depressing thought. I love the thought you went to a circus and saw that and went, that is how I'd like to die.
Well, I hadn't thought about it until I read this article, because then I thought, what would I do? Because I wouldn't go to space. And then I remembered the bubble machine and I thought, I'd go in a bubble machine.
Yeah, I know. You can make soap out of animal fat. So I think we're only a few steps away from bubble machine funerals.
They've just invented like boil in the bag funerals. It's the first time they've like officially launched a new way of disposal in like 100 years. But they can now put you in like a polythene bag and then boil you into a mush. I wouldn't want
sous vide to the void. Just
yeah,
a basmati burial.
It's not for me. Put me in the bubble machine.
That brings us to the end of the magazine. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back. Kai, have you got anything to plug?
I'm doing a show in New York in January. So in Union Hall, and I don't know anybody in New York, and no one's buying tickets. So if anybody has anybody in New York, you can go on my website, kaisamra.com.
Excellent. Go to kaisamra.com and buy tickets. All my New York friends and enemies. Jos Norris, what have you got to plug?
I am organising a film screening night on December the 8th at King's Place in London. I'm premiering a short film that I made earlier this year, and we're combining short films and script readings. So there's going to be some amazing actors doing some readings of comedy scripts by great writers. Me, Miranda Holmes, Nat Lertzema, and I've curated a bunch of short films by the kind of comedy film community. There's some stuff by Jazz Emu and Sam Campbell and people like that. Should be really, really fun. So there's tickets on my website on josnorris.co.uk if people want to come along. Love to see you there.
That sounds magnificent. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, my podcasts and my blogs, as well as my weekly salons. We do a weekly salon and we do two writers' meetings a week. You get access to all of that for, at the moment, $1 a month. So please jump on board before I get the logistical power together to make that financially viable for myself. patreon.com/AliceFraser. There is also a book available on unbound.com called The Dancy Lagarde Reader, if you want that for your friends for Christmas. And this is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. I'm your host, Alice Fraser. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.